You noticed in the New Testament lesson that Millie read a moment ago, it's from the Sermon on the Mount. It's the words of Jesus. And Jesus started out with a metaphor of a pathway. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for the way is wide and easy that leads to destruction. But the way is narrow and difficult that leads to life. And then he switched the metaphor to the metaphor of a tree bearing fruit. And he said, you'll know them by their fruit. In other words, you'll know, is somebody walking in God's way by the fruit that their life produces, the things that their life produces. And he says, a good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now, I really wonder, when Jesus did that teaching, did he have Psalm 1 in mind? Because Psalm 1 follows exactly the same outline. It begins with a metaphor of a pathway, and then the metaphor shifts to a tree. The righteous, those that know God, says Psalm 1, are like a tree planted by streams of water, which bears its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. So I really wonder, did Jesus have Psalm 1 in mind? Before I read the psalm, a couple more words of introduction. Psalm 1 is not in the form of a prayer, as many of the psalms are. This is called a wisdom psalm. It's a teaching psalm that teaches the wisdom of God. The wisdom, there's a whole category of literature in the Bible called wisdom literature. And wisdom literature is not necessarily ironclad rules about right and wrong. It's rather about how to choose what's best in life. How to choose the path that leads to blessing. And that requires not just knowing a list of rules, but having wisdom. So hear the word of God. This is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, your word is truth. By your Holy Spirit, open our hearts and plant your word in our hearts so that we will be transformed to be more like Jesus, your living word, in whose name we pray. Amen. And actually, what I'm about to tell you has very little to do with my sermon today. But many, many years ago, when I was a seminary student, My maternal grandmother was still living, and I used to go when I would make a trip home from seminary in the Bay Area down to the little town of Easton in Central California. I would go visit Grandma. And Grandma thought that seminary was just wasting time if we weren't memorizing the Bible. And I went to visit her one day, and she said, "Philip, Psalm 1. I said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked." She said, "No, that's not it." I said, "What? No, that's it, Grandma. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners." She said, "No." I said, "Oh, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of..." She said, "Yes, that's it." Psalm 1 is about two ways of life that are implacably opposed to each other. These two ways of life will not tolerate each other. They are in conflict, and there is no possibility of compromise between these two ways of life. Psalm 1, well, the world will tell us there's an abundance of different lifestyles out there that we can pursue, right? The world is, and especially we who live in an affluent nation like the United States of America, we're taught from the time we're little that the world is going to be your oyster. You can follow any path you want in life, and there's 1,000 different ones to choose from. Now, there's a grain of truth in that. But the Bible says, when you boil it all down, there's two. There's only two. Psalm 1 says that there's the way of the godly and the way of the wicked. God's path leads to life and blessing. And that's the very first word. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman who does not walk in the way of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But that person's delight is in the law of the Lord. Blessed is that person. It means happy, fulfilled, in right relationship with God. And knowing what life is really all about, and there's deep fulfillment in that, isn't there? But the path of the wicked, the very last verse of the psalm tells us the way of the wicked will perish. That path leads to death. So there's only two. And Psalm 1 tells us that life is a fight. Life is a battle between these two pathways. Now, I know that that's not really a popular idea. We don't like to think of life being a battle. But you know what the Apostle Paul did? That's why he said, "Put on the full armor of God." Because you're in for a fight. There's no choice about that. The question is not whether you'll be in the fight, but whose side you'll be on. But let's also remember, as the Apostle Paul said, our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against each other. Our fight is not against our fellow human beings, whether they be believers or not. our fight is against the principalities and powers, the spiritual forces of evil. That's what our struggle, our fight is against. Let me unpack a little bit more of what I mean. And I hope that this illustration makes some sense. Remember that the first part of the psalm is about a pathway. Well, I'm going to think of a water pathway. Let's think of the Boise River, right? Have you ever floated the Boise River? Okay, a lot of you have. Good. I haven't done it in many, many years. We ought to do that as a church event next year. Anyway, the way of the wicked, the way of the world, is like the standard way. Let's think of the way of the wicked as the standard way that you float the Boise River. You get in at Barber Park, and you end up at Ann Morrison Park, right? And you don't really think very much about where you're going. The river just takes you. You just drift with the current. That's the way of the world. You just drift with the current, and after all, that's the way most people are going. And everybody's going that way, so it must be okay, right? And you never question where you're going. That's the way of the world. Now, on that trip down the river, you may have a great big fancy raft with coolers full of gourmet snacks, or you may have an inner tube and a bag of chips. But you're all going the same way, and you're all going to end up at the same place, at Ann Morrison Park. The main thing about the way of the world is you just drift with the current. The way of Jesus, the way of Psalm 1, the way of the godly, it's just the opposite. It's like getting in at Ann Morrison and paddling against the current all the way to Barber Park. And along the way, you're going to encounter resistance. People are going to think you're nuts. What are you doing? They may even splash you with their paddle. They may even mock you and tell you you're out of your mind. You know, you don't have to do all this work. You could just drift with all the rest of us. They'll scoff and make fun of you. Okay, listen to verse 1 again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Examine your life. Whose counsel are you listening to? What are the inputs into your life? We are flooded every day with messages that come over television, that come over the internet, that come over the radio, magazines and books that we read. Whose counsel are you listening to? It takes no effort whatsoever to listen to the counsel of the wicked. Because you're going to get flooded with it. You don't even have to try. You don't have to seek it out. Who do you hang out with, both literally and figuratively? And notice there's a progression in this verse, verse 1. It's a descent into hell. It starts with walking, standing, and then finally sitting. It begins with walking in the advice and counsel of those who ignore God, who shut God out. And then that leads to standing. Now you've stopped and you're loitering among those who ignore God, shut him out. And they may lead very moral lives, by the way. This is not a message about moral superiority of anybody. This is about a heart that's either turned toward God or away from God. So it begins with walking in the advice and counsel of the wicked. That leads to standing, loitering among sinners. And finally, you're sitting. You've become very comfortable in the worst possible place a person can ever be, and that is mocking and scoffing at what is good and true and godly. You see, the world, Psalm 1 tells us that the world is not a spiritually neutral place. The world is in rebellion against God. And listening to the advice and counsel of the world is to be drawn into that rebellion and without even knowing it. Once again, you're just drifting with the current. The advice of the world is a lot like the Greek mythological figure Medusa. Remember Medusa? She's not pretty, but it's hard to take your eyes off of her because, remember, instead of hair, she has a head full of venomous snakes coming out from her head. According to the Greek myth, if you look into the eyes of Medusa, you freeze. You become a rock. And that's what the world can do to you. The world can give you a frozen heart, a cold, hard heart, not only toward God, but toward other people. Sin is like that. It freezes the heart. And here's the other road in verse 2. But his delight, in contrast to walking, standing, sitting in the way of the wicked. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now again, beginning of a new year, of a new season, it's a really good time to examine your life, and I really challenge you, invite you, spend time daily in God's Word. The one who is blessed meditates on the Word of God day and night. That's the spiritual nourishment, the spiritual bread of the godly. What does it mean to meditate day and night on God's Word? Well, it means to let Scripture roll over and over in your mind. There's no better way to do that than to memorize Scripture. Memorize Psalm 1. Study it. Every day, when you open the Bible, by the way, John Calvin, our Reformed forebear, said, whenever you open the Bible, first put on the spectacles of the Holy Spirit. And what he meant was pray. Do you open the Bible and it doesn't make sense to you? Put on the spectacles of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you understand. Ask God to plant the Word deep in your life, deep in your heart. Now, once again, Psalm 1 says there are only two ways of life, and we must choose which path we're going to walk. Now, if you think I'm being too narrow about Psalm 1 and narrowing it down to just two paths, I'd like to remind you that Jesus said exactly the same thing. There are two ways. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. Jesus is pretty blunt here. You can either go with the crowd or you can go with him. His way is the way to life. These are hard words from Jesus. He's warning us that his way is not one good option among many others. His teaching is not a suggestion that we can take or leave. His way is not one philosophy of life among many other good philosophies of life. He's saying his way is the way to life and there is no other. His way leads to life. All other paths lead to death. Now, Jesus said the way is hard. But there's also a paradox here. And I can't resist, by the way. I know that you know what a paradox is. You go down to the lake, there's two docks side by side. That's a paradox. I've told that joke before, but I cannot stop myself. There is a paradox here. Jesus said, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And few find it. But Jesus also said, are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Carrying a heavy load? He said, come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Wow, well, how can that be? How can it be hard and light and easy at the same time? Well, you know what a yoke is. It's where two animals are fastened together. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. In other words, be my yoke fellow. Be yoked together with me. And I promise you, I will be faithful. And my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Why? Because you're yoked together with the ruler of the universe. The one who holds the universe in his hand. The one who created everything that is. The metaphor shifts in verse 3 from a path to a tree. The person who chooses God's way, listen to it again, verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Remember, since you're engaged in a war, you need nourishment. You've got to be sustained for the long haul. If you're going to walk the path that leads to life, you have to be nourished and sustained. Pursue the life of prayer the way that tree roots seek water. And by the way, prayer is hard. Prayer does not come naturally to me. My mind wanders all over the place. And let me teach you a little phrase that I've learned. Lord, I'm returning to my prayer. my mind, you know, it's like a kite in a heavy wind. But I just say, Lord, I'm returning to my prayer. And he knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. I don't think that bothers God in the least. But pursue the life of prayer the way tree roots seek water. Read Scripture the way that tree roots seek water. You have your choice. You can either flourish like a well-watered tree, or you can be blown like chaff in the wind, says Psalm 1. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff. You know what chaff is. It's what's left over when you take the hulls off of wheat or any other kind of grain, and the wind just blows it away. In other words, it's insubstantial. It has no weight. You can be a person of substance, or you can be shallow and hollow on the inside, blown around by every wind. Getting back to the struggle, because Psalm 1 does represent a fight between two ways of life. And by the way, that fight is going on. That fight is not going on between me and somebody else. It's going on right here in my divided heart and in your divided heart. It goes on in every Christian heart. Irwin McManus is a pastor in Southern California. He tells the story of the night, and this is many years ago. His son is an adult now, but he tells the story of the time that his little boy, Aaron, didn't want the lights turned off when he went to bed. Little Aaron had just been to camp the previous week, Christian camp, and for the first time in his life, heard about demons. And he was scared. And he didn't want Daddy to turn off the light. McManus said he groaned inside, and he fought back the temptation to tell Aaron, oh, they're not real. Because he knew they are real. The demonic is very real. But before he could answer, his son Aaron asked him to pray for him. He said, Daddy, would you pray for me that I will be safe? And McManus said, I could feel it. I could feel false, warm blanket Christianity beginning to wrap around him. A life of safety. And he said, Aaron, I will not pray for you to be safe. I will pray for you to be dangerous. I will pray for you to be so spiritually powerful and dangerous that the demons won't dare come into this room. And Aaron said, well, Daddy, would you please pray that I'll be really, really, really dangerous? I don't know what McManus did next, but it would not have been a bad idea to teach young Aaron to pray Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is the prayer of a warrior. Let's bow together. Oh God, deliver us. Deliver us from walking in the way of the wicked, or standing in the way of sinners, or, Lord forbid, sitting in the seat of scoffers. Deliver us from that. Lift us up by your Holy Spirit and plant us firmly on the path, on the way of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that Jesus did not come merely to teach the way, but he said, I am the way. And by faith, we are yoked together with our Savior Jesus. As we begin this new season of the year, Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, every person here will be like a tree planted by the stream of water, and that their leaf will not wither, and they will bear fruit in season. And we pray it in the precious name of Jesus, and for his sake, amen.